you bow with me in prayer? Father, glorify your name here this morning by your Spirit teaching us the meaning of obedience. Teach us all over again, afresh, what it might mean to be radically committed to you. And use Mary, beloved of you, to teach us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Continuing in our series of great characters in the Bible, it seemed appropriate on Mother's Day weekend to study the greatest mother in history, Mary, the mother of Jesus. No mother has caused the church more perplexity. No mother has been more misunderstood. Protestants have been quick to criticize Catholic teachings about Mary, but we've been slow to develop our own response to the spotlight that the Bible puts on this woman. Mary is blessed among women because God chose her to be the mother of Jesus, and that's an inconceivable assignment. By studying her, I hope we will learn at least two things. The value of obeying God, which Mary modeled in her personal life. And secondly, the importance of honoring our mothers as Jesus honored his. First, keep in mind, it is God who singles out Mary for honor, not the church. And she was singled out because of her uncompromising obedience to God's will. Our text says in verse 28, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Why was God with her? Because Mary had been to, quote, obedience school, even at a young age. When God called, she somehow was trained to respond without debate. Agreeing to pay the price of becoming the mother of Jesus. And what a price that was when you think about it. Giving birth to a child without being married, a stigma that must have followed her throughout her life. Because you see, it was no easier in the first century than now to explain a virgin birth. And remember, that doctrine was somehow created long after the church was came into being. It was not rampant in the time when Mary was alive with Jesus. And then accepting responsibility to provide a home for God's Messiah. To say, yes, Lord, I'll give him the spiritual and emotional roots he's going to need in order to complete his anointed ministry to save the world. I don't know about you, but that responsibility on my shoulders as a dad, I can't even imagine it. And then remember, it's Mary who helps us remember that Jesus was not only divine, he was very human. Jesus cried like we often hear babies cry in church. He went through those terrible twos, which I remember with all of mine, where every other word is no. The stress and insecurity of early teens, where Jesus, like any normal teenager, struggled to first find his Father's will for his life and then struggled to obey it. And I'm certain Mary spent long nights sitting at his bedside, struggling with him about the fact that he was somehow different and had a destiny that maybe he didn't want to follow on certain days any more than he wanted to follow it that night in the garden when he begged God to let him off the hook. And then the price of following her son to the cross that day, when her dreams seemed to fall in ashes at her feet, and no doubt she was crying out to God, "Is this the reward I get for my obedience? To have my son die like a common criminal when you said he was going to be the Messiah?" Uncompromising obedience, a simple but primary lesson that Mary offers to every Christian. Obey God, do what God says, no conditions, no qualifications, no excuses, just do it. Learning to obey God is the most important lesson in life. And this subject this morning, therefore, is probably one of the most important lessons we'll discuss this year in the pulpit. Because if we can learn to obey God as a church family, we then go against the cross current in our culture and we become something unique that God values and God uses. You see, our society is stricken with the collapse of moral character today. Our media daily highlights cultural heroes who flaunt their rebellion against God's laws. And yet the paradox is that society has a soul hunger that we hear in so many places for people who will pay the price of doing the right and honorable thing. For people who will forego lust and social acceptance and financial profit and the crunch for personal power because obeying God, doing the right thing, has become the most important agenda in life for them. Society needs people like that. Our church needs people like that. You know, every time I get ready for a Sunday, I wonder what God has in mind. And you know, I believe that God brought some of us to church today because he wants to use Mary's life of obedience to touch our hearts. I've never preached on Mary before. God must have something in mind. Maybe some of you are caught in the pressure cooker of trying to live in this world and obey God at the same time. And you're struggling. And maybe you're almost ready to fall. And God came here to reach down to you and give you a hand by bringing you to church. Some of you are tempted to compromise in business in order to stay competitive. We know how that is. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. It's tough to stay honest. Some of you are married or unmarried, and you're tempted right now to break God's moral laws, and you've backed up that temptation, which what seemed to be a long list of good arguments why it's okay for you to disobey. And then so many of us are tempted to worry about our children, finances, our health, future security, even though God has commanded us not to worry, but to trust him. And we're caught between trust and anxiety. Mary responded to God's will with radical obedience. And she stands there as a woman saying, "It can be done. With God's power, it can be done if you want to obey God." And she would shout to us, like a coach shouting to her team from the sidelines, "No matter what the price, remain obedient to God in your personal life. It's worth it. Don't quit. Not yet. Not now." If you're a mom committed to a child who has not fulfilled your dreams, don't give up. Don't stop praying. Not yet. If you're seeking to remain morally pure, honest at work, don't quit, she would say. Not yet. It'll be worth the price. You see, Mary knew. I can't imagine walking with her to the cross of her son. And the agony she must have felt that day when she felt totally abandoned by God. But that's where she learned the lesson that she's shouting to us. Hang tough. Wait. God will come through, even if it appears today that he's abandoned you. Because Mary's experience is a beacon beckoning us to follow, let's move to a second truth in our text. And it's a beautiful one. God rewards obedience. Our text says, "Henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." Well, at this point, you might say, if Mary's life is what it means to be on God's VIP list, who needs it? But don't judge too hastily. If I could summarize the message of the Bible, it might go something like this. Those who obey God ultimately find joy, and those who disobey God ultimately suffer. Mary was not an unhappy, frustrated woman. Compare her to modern women who boast of their freedom from God's laws, either in word or in lifestyle. And ask yourself, who possesses more joy and fulfillment? Did you catch People's Magazine last summer? Leona Hemsley made the cover of that magazine. She's known as a hard, ruthless woman whose God is money. She is also one of the world's richest women. Chiseling pennies to save taxes, she now faces years in prison. Why? Those who know her say, she's a fearful, insecure person who could never get rich enough. Two other heroes in the women's world, at least historically. Elizabeth Taylor seems to have achieved everything that the world can offer a woman. Ivana Trump married one of the world's richest men, And yet the very public pain of these women, of what they experience in their private lives that comes out in the news, tells us, you know, life where your God is something less than the living God perhaps isn't all that it's cracked up to be. You see, evil's biggest myth is that obeying God doesn't pay off. But Mary's here to tell us, of course, the life of obedience is tough. And sometimes it drains everything you've got, but the rewards are incredible. When you compare them with what happens to people who disregard God. You see, the most painful life to live on this world is to live in disobedience to God. You get temporary pleasure and long-term letdown, and don't forget it. You're not giving up anything today if you leave that door deciding to obey God. You're saving yourself. You see, Mary received at least the following rewards. She received the reward of joy and excitement on Easter morning after she had held to her faith through the darkness of that Good Friday. Remember, a time when it appeared God had abandoned her, as you might feel God has abandoned you today, and that's why you're tempted to break his laws. And then she received the reward of watching Jesus ascend to his Father. I don't know what that would have been that day, but heard him say, I'm coming back someday as the King of Kings. And she knew that that 33 years was worth it. Mary invested her life in obedience to God, and she received tremendous rewards. I want to highlight perhaps what was her greatest reward, just because it's Mother's Day, and that's the reward she received from her son. Whatever else Jesus did, over and over again, it's obvious he really loved his mom. One of his last words, while hanging on the cross in the midst of all that agony, was a word concerning his mother's welfare when he said to his friend John, Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. The last concern of our Savior on earth was the welfare of his mother. You ever thought about that? He really loved her. How did that make Mary feel? How would it make you feel? Obviously, not all of us are blessed with mothers of Mary's stature. Not all of us today sit here with positive feelings about our mom. However, all of us can at least give her appreciation for her love, sacrifice, and pain that she invested to give us life. The discomfort of her pregnancy, the pain of childbirth, the long nights of sleeplessness during those endless months when we were totally helpless and totally demanding, her concern for us when we left the nest, a concern that follows us right to this very day. I'm grateful for the discussion arising from Barbara Bush being invited to speak at Wellesley. From that dialogue has come a new affirmation of motherhood and homemaker as one worthy vocation for women among others. It used to be the only vocation. Now, thank God, at least there's many things women do, but we're recognizing that what they do in the home and for children is of equal value with what they do out in the world, and that's good. And for those women who must do the double task of working outside the home and still fulfill the role of mom, particularly those who do so without the help of a husband, today this church wants to give you special honor. And we want to help you and love you through that process and be a family for you. As we close, I want to give a challenge. Every one of us who still has opportunity, I challenge you to take time this weekend to do something special for your mom. Some need to simply forgive her, knowing you can't fix the past, but God can enable you to change your attitude in the present and the future. That's what J.R. did in his letter. Others blessed with closeness in your home, you know what will make your mom most happy. Well, just do it. Don't postpone it. And if you know a mom who doesn't have someone to love and care for her today, open up the circle of your celebration and include her. And you'll know who it is. She'll be on your doorstep. My mom died 9 years ago, Mother's Day. If I could have her back just for today, I can think of so many things I do for her that I never quite got around to doing. So here are the two messages from Mary. Hang tough in remaining obedient to your Lord no matter what the cost. Reward will come. Don't quit. Not yet. Don't give up. And secondly, take time today to honor your mom, whatever that will mean for you, as Jesus honored his. Would you bow in prayer with me? Lord, give us all the grace to trust you enough to obey you, because you called us here to worship you today. We pray in Jesus' name.